Welcome to this podcast to accompany the review article, Challenges and Opportunities for Increasing Patient Involvement in Heart Failure Self-Care Programs and Self-Care in the Post-Hospital Discharge Period. The focus being to recognise the importance of engaging and harnessing patient and caregiver expertise in our joint goal to help transform the management of heart failure in that critical time period and beyond.
My name is Katrina Stevens, and I'm the Global Patient Engagement Director for the Cardiovascular, Renal and Metabolism team here at AstraZeneca. And I'm delighted and honoured to be joined today by fellow co-authors of this article, Professor Java Butler and Teresa Levitch. Professor Butler, if I can just hand over to you to share a few words about yourself.
Yeah, certainly. So delighted to be here today. Thank you very much for the invitation and absolutely honored to be part of this initiative. I am Dr. Javed Butler. I serve as the president of the Baylor Scott & White Research Institute, Baylor Scott & White Health in Dallas, Texas. And I also serve as professor of medicine at University of Mississippi in Jackson, Mississippi. I'm a cardiologist with a specialty focus in heart failure and transplant. And pertinent to our discussion today, I've been involved in several initiatives of including patients' voice both in our clinical trials and our regulatory processes as well. So based on that background, I'm absolutely delighted to be here with you today.
Well, thank you so much. Wonderful to have you here. And also to Teresa Levitch, who is also here with us today and who lives with heart failure and who brings valuable experience from a patient perspective.
Hi, I'm Teresa Levitch, and I've been living with heart failure for 3 years. It's my pleasure to have co-created various heart failure patient education initiatives and to have co-authored the review article alongside Professor Butler and the other authors.
Welcome to you both. We're here today to discuss both of your experience and thoughts around person-centered, co-designed and developed programs, which has indeed included the co-authorship of this review article between physicians and patients. And to get things started, Javed, I wonder if you could provide some background on the needs of heart failure patients when diagnosed, and indeed in the first few months after hospital discharge, both in terms of guideline-directed management and transitional care of heart failure programs.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot to unpack here because sometimes from a clinician's perspective, we focus a little bit too much, appropriately so, but a little bit too much only on medical therapy, whereas the patient needs, if you talk to the patients and the family members, are broader than just prescription of medication. You talk about, for instance, new onset heart failure. Obviously, the doctors, the nurses, the pharmacists, the healthcare team, we are really coaches, and the patients are the players, or the patients and the family members are the players, and a player cannot play the game if they don't know the game. So education of the patient is a big need that for patients to understand not only why they are being given certain medications, but what are the benefits of those medications, what are the risks, side effects, what to watch out for, and also give education about the disease state itself, what to expect, what's the prognosis, how the prognosis is going to get better with the medical therapy. So give that sort of holistic picture of what to expect. Obviously, there are recommendations which are non-pharmacologic, like diet, lifestyle, all of those things sort of come in. But then also remember from a patient perspective, you know, you have just gotten a diagnosis with a horrible title to it, heart failure, right? That's really scary. So what exactly does that mean? What the patient prognosis is, and give the patient an accurate estimate. And what I mean by that is that if you downplay the significance of the disease, then maybe patient will not be as adherent to the medication and as compliant to your recommendation. But on the other hand, we have so many therapies that can improve patients' outcomes that we also have to give patients hope that if they and the healthcare team, you know, do the right thing, that there is hope and that the patients can feel really well. So give that hope, but also a realistic expectation. And then when people do get hospitalized, then transitions of care becomes critically important because now biologically, their disease have taken a step in the wrong direction, but we can pull it back in the right direction by close monitoring at the time of discharge, early post-discharge, and that transition of care becomes really, really important. So basically, just telling them about disease, giving them hope, telling them about treatment, what to expect, and making them part of the team as opposed to a unidirectional sort of relationship. That's what the patients and their family members, in my opinion and experience, are looking for.
Wow, these are very powerful words. And what I've learned from that is physicians are the coaches and patients are the players. I really like that. And education is the big need here, which goes beyond telling patients about the disease and the treatment to also include making them part of the team. And I think you've already answered my next question to a certain extent, which is why the patient voice in particular is so critical to the co-design of meaningful interventions, and how can we go about harnessing that patient expertise to provide that greater credibility and trust?
So first of all, you know, we all like to be heard, right? And the patient's voice needs to be heard. So first, we need to understand what is their concerns and what is their expectations. And those things go way beyond prescription of medications. I mean, people have lives, right? I mean, people want to live longer to see their children get married or their grandkids get, you know, graduated from college or whatever it is, that we really need to sort of understand, you know, what is driving their fears and their passions. And on the other hand, patients may have a very unrealistic expectation from their disease on both ends. And if we don't hear them, we will never find out. So some people may have a much better expectation of their prognosis than the reality, or vice versa. They may be in a doom and gloom phase where that is just not true. So understanding patients' perspective of their own perceptions of their disease becomes really, really important. But remember, it's not only about the hardcore sort of the data and numbers. It's about a relationship between two human beings, the clinicians, the doctor, the nurse, and the patient, so that they have the trust in you that they can follow your recommendation and have that sort of emotional bank account, right? Then there are things where we need to understand what patient's life is like, right? I mean, you cannot just have one prescription for every patient. So whether the patient has a social infrastructure where they can come for regular clinical follow-up, different ethnicities and different races eat different kind of foods and have different social interactions. And just saying something like, you know, low potassium or low sodium diet is close to meaningless recommendation unless and until you dig into those details. Perhaps some people will need nutritional consult. Perhaps some people will need social work or home health because they don't have the means to be able to take care of them. Perhaps some people will have issues with paying for the medications and will require some help in that sense from social work also. So understanding patients' perspective also becomes very, very important. So from all aspects, to have patients and their families be really part of the team, the patients need to be heard, because their preferences make a difference. And the last point I will make is that we are always focused on clinical outcomes, but the patients are equally, if not more, concerned about the mortality, hospitalization, but also about quality of life and what they can and cannot do. And we really need to be able to answer all of those questions. So the shared decision-making becomes really, really important. This is really, really important that the patients ought to be included and family members ought to be given an option so that we can make a comprehensive plan.
I share your passion in this. What you've said is really resonating with me. Very valid points. And I think it's critical as we recognize the importance of patient inclusivity in their own care, both from a health outcomes perspective, as you're saying, but also enhanced sustainability of healthcare systems. In addition to that, and I loved what you said about, you know, patients being a part of the team. That really speaks to that. And we realize that, you know, the contribution of patients in the co-creation of programs and even in the co-authorship of publications, such as what we have experienced here with Teresa, can provide a more meaningful experience to a broad range of readers or users, so to speak, because of heightened credibility, relatability, and familiarity of materials, which speak more to patient preferences for information and have that patient perspective. So as I mentioned, with regards to this review article, we have worked closely with expert patient members from the HeartLife Foundation in Canada in this way, along with individual patients such as Teresa. And Teresa, as a co-author, I'm sure that you agree with this. And as someone living with heart failure, and as a co-creator and a co-author, what do you think people living with heart failure need to know to help them during the transition period after hospitalization?
I think that it's normal to feel out of control or sad. Those are normal. It's a normal experience. I think that you're not alone and there's hope. And after you begin to overcome those feelings by accessing information on the web and looking for patient participation research or studies, it will help you feel more in control. And once you begin to feel more in control, you can accept what your body needs or what your health needs are. But these types of patient participation also helps your medical team understand the perspective of a patient. And they realize we are a valuable part of the medical team. It also helps when you're able to communicate with a medical team that you have accurate information and you're able to understand it. Even if you don't understand it while you're reading it, taking that information to your next office visit, they can explain it to you. And so the communication between the medical team and the patient is improved. If that communication is improved, then you're going to feel better. You're going to be able to take care of yourself and you're going to understand what it is that your body needs, what medications and why timing might be important for medication. So having patient participation just helps your medical team and it helps you and it helps your caregivers. It's a feeling of validity, I think, that your feelings and your knowledge of what's going on with you is important.
Well, thank you so much, Teresa. And what you've said has great relevance for anyone who finds themselves needing to move from arriving at that point of disruption and uncertainty in their lives caused by heart failure through to being better able to thrive and more actively participate in their own care. So thank you very much, David and Teresa, for your important insight. It's been a pleasure to have spoken with you today. And I'm sure that the novel approach outlined here today will go a long way, and hopefully to our listeners also, in our joint goal to transform heart failure management. Perhaps, David, if you want to say some final words, that would be wonderful.
So pleasure was all mine. Thank you very much for the invitation and for us to be able to connect today. My only comment would be that heart failure is no longer a disease which is uniformly lethal or something that we cannot do about. There are a lot of therapies that are available that fundamentally changes the outlook for the patients. So let's work on implementing those therapies as widely as possible and as soon as possible.
Thank you very much.